This is Bad Cop, No Donut, for the week of June 9th, 2005.
All right, police!
Bad cop.
Donut?
Bad. Cop.
No. Donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. A Riverside County, California sheriff's deputy was charged last Thursday with 5 counts of spousal and child abuse and criminal threats against his girlfriend and her daughter. The LA Times says that Deputy Elias Santos is accused in court documents of threatening to kill his girlfriend and daughter, and also threatening to kill other deputies who he described as traitors. Santos is also under investigation for using excessive force in an arrest. Santos is accused of physically abusing his girlfriend in November and twice in May, and abusing her 4-year-old daughter in November and again in February. Investigators say that Santos became increasingly psychotic and volatile after being placed on administrative leave in April because of the excessive force incident. A Ventura County, California sheriff's deputy was indicted by a grand jury last Wednesday for filing false tax returns and threatening to arrest IRS officials assigned to his case. An LA Times report says that Deputy Patrick Dane has been placed on paid leave pending the outcome of the case. Prosecutors say that Dane filed false tax returns from 1994 to 2000. The deputy claimed that he earned no money during that period, while in reality earning between $60,000 and $84,000 in each of the aforementioned years. The indictment against Dane also alleges that he threatened to arrest an IRS agent if the agent came to his home. Dane is facing a possible 24 years in prison if convicted on all of his charges.
The family was shocked and surprised by this decision and is deeply concerned that Officer March is being given favorable treatment. Under the facts provided to the family, it is unconscionable that Officer March would not be charged with second-degree murder or manslaughter.
For our family and friends to walk in there and he walked through the back and not a sheriff on him. But it was like we were the bad ones walking through that hallway.
There were some threats made against the officer that this specifically was to happen today.
A police officer in Sacramento, California, was arrested last Tuesday after he killed a 13-year-old boy in a drunken hit-and-run incident. KXTV reports that investigators claim that Officer James March struck the boy as he was crossing the street after getting off a school bus, killing him instantly. The vehicle driven by the officer initially slowed down, but then sped off, pursued by witnesses. California Highway Patrol officers arrested March after administering a sobriety test, which the officer did not pass. He was charged with felony hit and run, felony driving under the influence, and vehicular manslaughter. However, when March appeared in court this Tuesday, his only remaining charge was felony hit and run. The family of the dead boy read a statement in court the same day expressing their disappointment with the leniency shown to the officer. March will appear in court next on June 28th. 2 Palo Alto, California police officers who were accused of brutally beating a man in 2003 have pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of unlawful fighting. A San Francisco Chronicle report says that officers Craig Lee and Michael Kahn pleaded no contest to the charge. The two are expected to be fined $250, face no time in jail, and are expected to return to work as police officers. A felony brutality trial for the two officers ended with a hung jury in April, but prosecutors decided not to go through with another trial and instead proceeded with the lesser charge. Prosecutors were influenced in this decision by the difficulty in convicting police officers with crimes, citing the Riders trial in Oakland as an example. Lee and Kahn clubbed and pepper sprayed a man in July 2003 after they found him sitting in a parked car. The officers accused the man of opening his car door aggressively. During the original trial, the prosecutor described the two officers as incompetent rookies who had no legal justification for questioning the man in the first place.
He was at the station with the deputy that he was riding along with. The deputy apparently had gone into the station momentarily. When he came out, Mr. Funderburk and our patrol car were gone. The charges are going to be grand theft auto and evading a police officer.
In Compton, California, a man who was on a ride-along with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy yesterday stole the deputy's police cruiser. The San Jose Mercury News says that Deputy Alexander Miller had taken the man on the ride-along because he believed the man had been in a Long Beach police youth group. A subsequent check revealed that this was not true. At the end of his shift, Miller allowed his guest to retrieve a bag he said he left in the car. The man drove away in the police cruiser and led police on a chase across three cities before surrendering and being arrested for evading arrest and possession of a stolen vehicle. An Orange County, Florida sheriff's deputy was arrested early Friday morning for drunk driving. WKMG reports that Deputy Terry Brown was charged with impaired driving after he was pulled over by the Florida Highway Patrol near downtown Orlando. Brown is on administrative duty until the incident has been investigated. A police officer in Brockton, Massachusetts, was arrested and charged with rape last Friday. The Brockton Enterprise reports that Officer Daniel McIntosh was working security at a bar when he offered a woman a ride home. On the way, he pulled behind a school, ostensibly to urinate. When he returned, he forced the woman to perform oral sex on him. Police arrested McIntosh the same day the woman made the allegations against him. McIntosh is married with one child, and his wife is currently pregnant with the couple's second child. On Tuesday, he pleaded not guilty to the charge. A police officer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, pleaded no contest to charges that he let a woman found with drugs go free in exchange for sex. WISN reports that Officer Nicholas Ince was accused of letting a woman who he found in possession of heroin last March go free in exchange for sex in the officer's patrol car. He was charged with misconduct in office and acting with excess authority. Ince will be sentenced in July and is facing a possible 3.5 years behind bars. One police officer has been fired and six others face internal discipline in Yukon, Oklahoma, after an investigation into sexual misconduct. KOCO reports that the fired officer committed his misconduct while on duty. The remaining five will not be fired because an ongoing internal investigation has determined that their actions were not criminal. However, no details have been made available about the nature of the allegations against the officers. The chief of police in Yukon says that he hopes his officers will apologize to the community, but will not say what they should apologize for. Two men have filed a $5 million lawsuit against the city of Moberly, Missouri, the Moberly Police Department, and six of their officers, and Taser International. According to the Moberly Monitor Index and Evening Democrat, the lawsuit alleges that police used excessive force on a man who had slapped his daughter in a January incident, which has not been investigated by police as of yet. One of the two plaintiffs in the lawsuit says that he was repeatedly kicked in the groin and neck, shocked with a taser as many as 15 times, and then held in a stranglehold until he lost consciousness. The man claims he was having an unusual reaction to some prescription medication when police were called to his home. Of the six officers accused in the lawsuit, the four that have been named are Michael Hollis, Adam Swan, Anthony Bone, and John Kirkpatrick. A sheriff's deputy in Madison County, Missouri, has been charged with stealing in connection to some missing evidence. An Associated Press report says that Deputy Farron Gwynn was arrested last Thursday and charged with four felony counts of stealing and one misdemeanor count of stealing. The crimes allegedly took place when the deputy was a police officer in Fredericktown, Missouri. No information is available about what Gwynn is accused of taking. He's currently being held in jail on $45,000 bond. A Defiance, Ohio police officer appeared in court last Friday to face a charge of failure to yield after he drove into a motorcyclist. According to the Toledo Blade, Officer Reuben Hendren drove his police cruiser into a man driving a motorcycle in a residential area on May 25th. The man is still in critical condition in hospital. Two suburban Illinois police officers and a former officer were indicted last Thursday in connection with a beating of a man outside of a bar in February. A report in the Chicago Sun-Times says that Richmond police officer Brian Quisilli and Spring Grove officer Ronald Pilotti have both been charged with aggravated battery, conspiracy to obstruct justice, official misconduct, unlawful restraint, and mob action. A former Lincolnshire police officer was also charged with impersonating an officer because he allegedly told the victim he was a police officer prior to the beating. The three, along with another co-accused, all surrendered to authorities. They will be arraigned on June 16th. The victim of the beating filed a lawsuit in which he claimed he was beaten and kicked by the officers after he was handcuffed. All of the charged are facing a possible 5 years in prison if convicted. A police officer in Patton Village, Texas, has been fired and charged with 2 counts of official oppression for beating a man at a traffic stop. KTRK says that Officer Jeffrey Spear was accused by a motorist of being verbally and physically abusive when he was pulled over on March 8th for an expired inspection sticker. Spear was fired after his superiors reviewed a videotape of the incident that backed up the man's claims. Spear is facing 2 years in jail and an $8,000 fine if he is convicted. His next court appearance will be in August. A police officer in Pasadena, Texas, was charged with official oppression on Friday after allegedly beating up a handcuffed man at a jail. A report in the Houston Chronicle says that an investigation was launched into the conduct of Officer Jonathan Strange after he was observed by a corrections officer throwing a man into a wall and then kicking his chest. Strange has been suspended since May 9th. A police officer in Friendswood, Texas, has retired after being charged with stealing 2 rings worth $18 from a department store in Houston. According to the Houston Chronicle, Officer Judith Pree retired voluntarily last Wednesday. She had been on paid suspension since she was charged on May 23rd, pending the outcome of the case. 2 sheriff's deputies in Cullman County, Alabama, stand accused of severely beating a man who they arrested for public intoxication and resisting arrest last Thursday. The Cullman Times says that witnesses to the beating claim that deputies Brandon Eddy and Brandon Hammock kicked and beat the man for 30 minutes, mostly after he was in handcuffs. The witnesses also claim that a taser was used on the man at least 4 times after he was in the back of a squad car. The witnesses say that the man was ill and unable to resist the officers. The Cullman County Sheriff says that his deputies used the minimum amount of force necessary to detain the man. A Biloxi, Mississippi police officer was arrested last Thursday for selling drugs. WLOX reports that Officer Daryl Svetanovich was charged with 1 count of selling ecstasy and possession with intent to distribute. He has been placed on administrative leave and is currently being held with a bond set at $25,000. He's facing 60 years in prison if convicted. A police officer in Louisville, Kentucky, who pleaded guilty to charges of sexual assault and official misconduct last Friday, will not serve any jail time. According to the Associated Press, Officer James Strauss resigned in October after a September incident where he hit a handcuffed man in the head with a flashlight. The man was apprehended by other officers, and Strauss was not directly involved in the arrest. Prosecutors say that he struck the man in the head with a flashlight and explained to the man that that's what he gets for running from police. Moments later, he punched the man in the back of the head. He was given a 1-year sentence, which was conditionally discharged by the judge. That means that Strauss will not serve any jail time if he stays out of trouble for the next 2 years. During his time in the police department, Strauss was involved in 2 other excessive use of force incidents. Both of those were shootings causing serious injuries in which the officer was eventually cleared of any wrongdoing. A police officer in Chesney, South Carolina, was charged with misconduct for shooting a man by mistake. WYFF reports that Christopher Elders was attempting to arrest a man on outstanding warrants when he accidentally shot the man, who was in fact the brother of the man who he was trying to catch. Elders was placed on administrative leave after the shooting in December. He will be arraigned today. A Sanford, North Carolina police officer who was accused of stealing from a hardware store in July 2004 has agreed to a plea deal for reduced charges. The Sanford Herald reports that Officer Daryl Thompson was originally charged with 2 counts of obtaining property by false pretense, but his plea deal saw one of the charges reduced to a misdemeanor larceny charge and the other dropped completely. Thompson was fired from his job after he was originally arrested last year. He has been sentenced to pay back the store that he stole from and to pay court costs. He will not serve any time in jail or on probation. Activists in Providence, Rhode Island, are questioning the validity of an FBI police brutality investigation into the beating of a man after he escaped from a police station after killing a police officer. According to the Associated Press, the activists are questioning the FBI's ability to conduct an independent investigation because one of their agents was involved in the arrest of the man. The day after his arrest, the man showed up in court badly beaten, with blood oozing from a spit mask he was forced to wear. The group, known as Direct Action for Rights and Equality, is calling for an independent review and says the police in Providence need to develop a policy for dealing with mentally ill people. Both the NAACP and the local ACLU chapter have accepted the results of the FBI investigation, which were announced last week. An undercover narcotics detective in Nassau, New York, has been charged with using his false identity to secure credit cards. Newsday reports that Officer Rodolfo Barrio opened at least 23 credit accounts under his assumed name and declaring personal bankruptcy several years earlier. He's accused of charging over $30,000 to his false accounts for items such as furniture, computer equipment, and clothing. Last Wednesday, he pleaded not guilty to 2 counts of scheming to defraud, 2 counts of falsifying business records, and 4 counts of official misconduct. A former police officer in Jeffersonville, Indiana, was arrested last Tuesday and charged with child molestation. WAVE reports that Steve Westerfield was charged with 60 counts of child molestation, 29 counts of sexual misconduct, and 4 counts of child seduction. One of his alleged victims was his own foster child. Westerfield spent more than 20 years as a police officer. A police officer in Elkhart, Indiana, resigned last Thursday after confessing to stealing $1,000 from a credit union. A report in the Elkhart Truth says that Officer Dean Crane has been charged with felony theft after stealing the money on May 25th from the credit union where he was employed as a part-time security guard. Crane faces between 6 months and 3 years in prison if convicted. A police officer in Marksville, Louisiana, was arrested after he was accused of helping another person defraud an insurance company and avoid bankruptcy laws. An Associated Press report says that Sergeant Herbert Gwillett hid the money in a personal bank account on behalf of a person who was hiding it from creditors. He was also accused of sending paperwork to an insurance company regarding claims which he knew to be false. After an FBI and state police investigation, the officer was charged with conspiracy, money laundering, concealment of assets, and 2 counts of mail fraud. Gwillett was arraigned yesterday. His job status is not known, but it is expected that he will continue to work for the Marksville Police Department pending the outcome of his trial. The Police Complaints Commissioner in British Columbia is calling for a judicial review of how the Vancouver Police Department handles complaints. A Canadian Press article says that the review was one of 6 recommendations made by the commissioner to improve the police complaints system there. The commissioner also said that the Vancouver department frequently used delay tactics when dealing with his office and accused them of undermining an external investigation by the RCMP into officer misconduct. The RCMP review found 9 valid complaints that had been dismissed by the Vancouver police. The Vancouver police chief now says that 3 of those cases are under review.
Well, every officer on the street will be carrying them by tomorrow. I had a couple situations, and both of them were when someone wanted to fight with me. And it's a tool that I think we should have had a long time ago for everybody, rather than just a select few officers. It's not the magic tool, but it is a very helpful tool. Maybe they don't want to fight with us so much.
A man in Sacramento, California, died on Saturday night after being shocked by police with a taser. The man died of apparent heart failure while being transported to a hospital. A police officer in Palm Bay, Florida, is under investigation for using a taser on a 15-year-old girl at a local school. Officer Heather Humes remains on the job, despite the violation of taser policy, which says that tasers cannot be used on children. Police in Lowell, Massachusetts, are considering arming their entire department with tasers. A limited deployment would begin in a few months, with the full deployment to take place shortly afterwards. Before being allowed to carry a taser, each officer will be required to go through 4 hours of training, which includes being shocked with 50,000 volts from a taser. Police in Cleveland, Ohio, have plans to purchase 60 new tasers. Tasers are already in use by nearly 400 law enforcement agencies in Ohio. After an initial testing period, police in Portland, Oregon, have started distributing more tasers to its officers. 35 more of the supposedly non-lethal weapons were distributed on Friday. There are plans in place to eventually have all Portland officers armed with tasers. Police in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan want changes to the province's Police Act to allow their officers to carry tasers. So far, taser use in that province is limited. The Sheriff's Department in Gwinnett County, Georgia, has decided to change its taser policy in response to the death of a man who was shocked repeatedly with a taser while he was shackled, handcuffed, and restrained by half a dozen deputies. The new policy will limit the use of tasers on people who are already restrained and halt the use of tasers when enough deputies are present to subdue a person without one. Beginning on January 1st of next year, people who plan to purchase a taser in Illinois will be required to wait 24 hours and undergo background checks. Stun gun owners will also be required to have a state firearm owner's identification card. Civilian taser ownership remains prohibited in at least 7 American states.
They heard the woman say, "Put the gun down." Shots were fired. We believe that the male shot the female in the leg area. Officers were attempting to make contact with him during that time. They perceived a threat, and an officer fired at the male subject.
I heard just a really loud bang, and then I went into my mom's room to see what was going on, and I looked out the window, and I saw a bunch of cops just, you know, two were parked out here, and they were all over the street, and I was like, whoa, what's going on?
Other than the killings already reported in this week's program, police also killed people this week in Leadbetter, Kentucky, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Shelbyville, Indiana, and Fall River, Massachusetts. That's all for Bad Cop No Donut this week. Tune in to this station for more next week. Feel free to send us your comments and story ideas. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. From CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, I'm Ron Anisich.